Hallelujah. I trust this morning that those words that you sang, that I am ready to surrender every care, that came from the heart. And I know that it's probably easier said than done, but this morning, I believe again, if we are to experience the fullness and the joy of the Lord this morning, we need to come to that place where, Lord, I am willing and I am ready to surrender all to you. Especially in the day we're living in, the time that we're in, it's a time again where we need to time and again be reminded that we serve an awesome, awesome God. Amen? And He is here for us. He is willing. He is ready. He is waiting. And whatever the care is, you can, with assured confidence, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Interesting. I thank you, Eric, and the worship team for leading us in those songs. And I could go away from here blessed already this morning without a shadow of a doubt. But God has called us to look into the Word again this morning and to learn from it. I titled the message this morning, Lord, Increase Our Faith. And I found it interesting, the last song that Eric chose there, in that I'm willing and ready to surrender all. And if we are willing and we're ready to surrender all, that takes faith. It takes faith in Jesus Christ that we have a Savior, we have a God who we can turn to and we can surrender everything to without question. And He is able and He is willing and He wants to. I remember when I got out of school, I started working at Souders Feed Mill, and we would stack feed bags up there, three on top of each other, which amounted to about 6-7 feet high at the top of it. And one day, one of the son-in-laws of Souders there came into the mill carrying his son, 2 years old, 2-3 years old, something like that. And he set him up on top of the feed bags there. And he was standing there talking and engaged in conversation. It was time for him to go. And he said to his son, come on, let's go. And I just remember this, every time I think of faith, he took a flying leap off the bags into his dad's arms. And every time I think of faith, I see that. And I thought about it, as I was reflecting on this morning, I thought about how that two-year-old or three-year-old, whatever he was, did not have the ability to comprehend or to weigh in, to take into balance that he weighs 40 pounds, his dad is 6 foot tall and weighs 200 pounds, and he should be able to catch me if I jump at such a rate of speed or whatever. He knew none of that. He jumped because it was his father. And I could stop there. I could stop there. Some of us this morning have taken a leap and we wonder if God's going to catch us. Some of us this morning need to take a leap and we wonder, is God there? Is He able? And so I titled the message this morning, Lord, Increase Our Faith. But before I get into that, I want to look at a couple of scriptures in Matthew that talk about some people that had faith. And just to read quickly some of these here stories, if I can, Matthew 8, 5 through 10. And you don't need to turn here if you don't wish, but it says this. Now, when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, and a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is laying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So here we have a story of how this here centurion, he knew and he understood in his heart that if Jesus were just to speak the word, if he were just to speak the word, it would happen. And we go on and looking in Matthew 9, 18 says this. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 20 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I may be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl rose. And the report went out to all in the land. Matthew 9:27 says this: "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men following him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?'" And I believe that many of us this morning, we need to ask that Jesus may be asking this question to us: "Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes and saying, "According to your faith, let it be done." Their faith was not in what they were doing. Their faith was in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Their faith was in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And I ask you this morning, are you walking in the hope? Are you walking in the faith? Are you walking in the confidence that God has assured us in his word that he has given us, and that we can have faith? And I will talk a little bit about faith. I'm not going to get into it real deep, but just some of the misunderstandings of faith, and then to look at one of the particular verses that Jesus spoke about faith. And you can turn there, Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Luke 17, verses 1 through 10. And we will take a look at this here, this request that the apostles made to Jesus in this passage of Scripture: "Lord, increase our faith." And one of the things that I find that in my own life, and I think you probably found it in yours as well, is that when there's a time comes, the time comes when there's a lack of faith, it leads to hopelessness. When we lack faith, it leads to hopelessness. It's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go on anymore. We lose hope. And if we are to continue in a hope-filled life, it boils down to, do I have faith in my Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone? Do you believe this morning? I ask you this question. Do you believe, like the centurion, that if Jesus says the word, that is able to happen, whatever he wants to happen? Or do you believe? Do you believe like the woman that had the flow of blood this morning, that if I could touch the hem of his garment, if only I could come to him, take time and come into his presence, I know that I would have hope again to go on? That's the hope that God offers through his son Jesus. Spiritual arrogance results in having faith in my own faith. I become spiritually arrogant when I have faith in my own faith and not in Jesus Christ alone. Let's read the scriptures here in Luke chapter 17. It says this: "Then he said to the disciples, 'It is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Wow. Wow. That's exactly what the apostles said. They said, "Wow, how can we do this?" And that's when verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Increase our faith. How do we do this? How do we make this work? How do we make this happen? And so the Lord said, and I want you to catch this. This is probably one of the most important verses about faith that is written in the Bible. In verse 6, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move. You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And it goes on in verse 7 and says, and which of you having a servant plying or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. And today, if you are a child of God, you are a servant of God. This morning, if you sit in this place, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, then you are a servant of God this morning. And hallelujah. We are willing and we want to, by the very depth of our being, we want to serve God. We want to honor him. We want to be the ones that will do it for him, just for him. Because why? Because we're servants of God. And so when we look at faith and we look at that relationship with Jesus, it is out of a relationship of faith with him that we do the things that we do. And so we're called to walk. He gets very specific here in the beginning of the chapter. He says that, then he says to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And today, my friends, is a day when we need to walk in faith, because there are people watching us. There are people watching you every day as you walk through this here trying times that we live in. And our children, your children are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. Your schoolmates are watching you. Co-workers are watching you. And he's saying, don't offend them. Don't offend them. Don't offend those young in faith. Don't offend them, because they are watching you. Therefore, we walk and live a life filled with faith, believing in Jesus Christ. And I ask this morning, are you talking, are you walking the walk filled with faith in Jesus? Or are you grumbling and complaining, as I find myself doing at times? And I bring nothing to the people who are watching except discouragement. And so my challenge this morning, I believe from the scriptures, is this, that we do not offend, because it is important how we live our life of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Not believing that everything is just going to be good, but our faith is in Jesus. And we look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego again, and I know I've said it before and it's been preached before, but they stood before the king and they said, we will not bow down to the king. We will not bow down to you. We will go into the fiery furnace, and our God is able to save us. He's able to save us. But if he doesn't, hallelujah, he's still God. Amen? Amen. He is still God. That's the position that they took. And I ask you this morning, are you walking in that kind of faith? Are those people who are seeing you, see you living out that kind of faith? That no matter what happens to me, I will not bow down to the king of this world. I'm not talking about a president. I'm talking about the enemy. I'm talking about Satan, the king of the world. I'm talking about the one that was defeated. I'm talking about the one that's going to be thrown and just bound up and thrown into a pit. He cannot. Amen. Amen. I am talking about Satan, the one who has caused so much trouble with so little to cause it with. Our minds. Our minds. And we hear people say, and I've said it myself, well, if I just have more faith, if I just have more faith, if I just have more faith, I wouldn't have so many questions or doubts. If I just had more faith, God would answer my prayers. If I just had more faith, he wouldn't have died or she would have recovered. If I just had more faith, I would be more involved in the church. If I just had more faith, I would be a better person, a better parent, a better spouse. If I just had more faith, I would know what to do. I would handle things different. If I just had more faith, life would be different. Back to what Jesus said. If you have faith this morning as much as a mustard seed, does anyone here know what a mustard seed looks like? It's very tiny. It's like a speck of dirt on a plate. A mustard seed is very tiny. And I believe what Jesus was saying is that it doesn't matter. They said, increase our faith. He said, it doesn't take big faith. It doesn't pay. It's not the quantity of faith that you have. It's not the quantity of faith. It's the quality of faith. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in him? It says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. How is it impossible to please God? Not being born again, not having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is impossible to please God without that faith. And so when we are born again believers in Jesus Christ, we are heir to, we become part of the faith that Jesus has in us, working through us. And somebody likened it unto the marriage relationship. In a marriage relationship, it's not that we always agree or agree on our opinions and stuff like that. When you talk about someone being faithful in marriage, they're faithful to the marriage. They're faithful to each other. They're faithful to the relationship. And so it is with Jesus. Your faith is big when you are faithful to that relationship. Amen? Your faith is big when you're faithful to that relationship. The request to increase our faith, the belief that if I had more faith, things would be different, reveals at best a misunderstanding. What? Let me say it again. The request to increase our faith, the belief that if I had more faith, things would be different, reveals at best a misunderstanding of faith itself. Because Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. You see, my friends, this morning, you don't need to wait until your faith is bigger. You need to act on the faith that you have. You need to act on the faith that you have. You don't need to wait until it gets bigger. That is false teaching. Because Jesus said, if you have faith as much as a mustard seed, move, move, move. Faith is a relationship of trust. Faith will not, however, change the circumstance of our life. Instead, it changes us. It doesn't change the circumstance. It changes us. It changes me. It changes you in how we feel about it. It doesn't undo the pain. It doesn't remove the difficulties of life. It does not undo the past. It will not guarantee a particular future. Rather, faith, by the means by which we face and deal the circumstance of life, the difficulties, the losses, the joys, and the successes, and the opportunities, and the possibilities, it makes a difference in how we respond to all of it if we're living a life of faith in Jesus Christ. It's a little over 2 years ago, I had a tumor removed from my stomach, and I remember sitting there on the gurney ready to go into the operating room, and I thought I was at peace. I really did, but my blood pressure wasn't telling them that. My blood pressure was up here somewhere, like close to 170, and they were saying, well, we got to get this blood pressure down before we go. Well, I'm okay. I mean, let's just get this done. But it would have been foolish. It would have been really, really foolish for me to sit there and tell that surgeon how it should be done. Friends, it is really, really foolish to sit and tell God how it should be done. But I'm afraid many of our prayers, that's what they reflect. Us telling God how it should be done. See, faith is believing that what God is doing, it's not a faith in the surgeon. I had no faith in that surgeon. I mean, I trusted a little bit. But no faith in the surgeon, but I believe that God can move through the hand of that surgeon. I believe that. I believe that without a doubt. But I had, like, let's go ahead and get this done. But my body was saying, it's not a good time to start this. So maybe God is saying, for your particular situation, Think about it. Think about your situation. Is God saying, because this is not a good time? Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. It's going to get done. But now's not the time. Do I have the faith to believe in Jesus in that time? And one of the things that's beautiful is, how do we acquire faith? I find it interesting, first of all, that the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. I thought our faith is all about me. I thought it's all about what I know and what I believe. But the disciples are standing there saying, increase our faith. And I want to say to you this morning, if you prayed that prayer, if you have prayed the prayer, Lord, increase my faith, get ready. Get ready. Because it may not be the way that you wanted to. If you look at the apostles and what happened to them after this, when they prayed, when they said, Lord, increase our faith, they were hanged, they were sawn apart, they were boiled in oil. Lord, increase our faith. Wow. So, if you have prayed that prayer, remember, your faith doesn't grow when things are easy. Faith doesn't grow when things are easy. Faith does not grow when things are cushy and the way we want them. Doesn't grow that way. Our faith grows when we're tested. How does faith come? It comes through the Word. I believe that Romans 10:17, it says that, so faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word. So faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word. So the first thing that if we are lacking faith this morning, if we are struggling with faith this morning, the first thing I remind you again is get into the Word of God. Get into the Word and know what God wants for you. And here's the thing that as I thought about that, I'm thought like, well, you know, shouldn't I be able to just do without, you know, knowing everything? And Eric talked last Sunday about we don't know everything. We don't need to know everything. We don't have to know everything. It's okay not to know everything. And then I thought about this here, and I thought about how that so faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word. Where do we acquire faith? We acquire it through the Word of God, knowing what God has commanded us, knowing what God wants for us, knowing what God's desire is for us. And you say, okay, yeah, but do I have to know everything? No, I don't need to know everything. But I thought about Abraham and how he set out to a place that God did not reveal to him, but he knew what God wanted him to do. Noah, build an ark. He knew what God wanted him to do. He did not know why. Abraham, he went and he offered up his son as a sacrifice. He knew what God wanted him to do, but he didn't know why. Are you with me this morning? So faith is based on, we get faith in understanding what God wants for us, but we don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe God hasn't provided a mate for you. Single people. Maybe God has provided a mate for you and it's been difficult. I don't know why. I don't know why. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that they were not to bow down to the king. They knew that. So it's important what we know. That is important. But our whys need to be brought under faith. That's my dad. That's my father. I don't know what he's up to, but I know he can catch me if I jump. I know he can catch me. I know he can catch me if I jump. Hallelujah. I don't know why. I don't know. I haven't all figured it out. I don't know all the scientific reasons and everything and how it works. Don't know. Don't know. If we truly believe what God has said, we will act and talk as if it's true. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you will talk and act like a person who believes it. If you believe that God will supply all your needs, you will talk and act like it. Are you talking and acting this morning like you believe that Jesus Christ and God is able to handle all this? Are you acting and talking? Because in the scriptures, chapter 17, verse 3, he says, take heed to what? Take heed to others? No. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. In reflection of this here, walking in such a way that we do not offend those that are new believers in Jesus Christ or children in Jesus Christ. Heed, take heed that you walk in such a way that you're not offending them. And then he goes on, he says, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And we all know that takes faith beyond our human being. That takes faith beyond what we can conjure up as human beings. We need the intervention of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that, to forgive. Some of us have a hard time forgiving one time in 20 years. See what I'm saying? But to do it seven times in a day, seven times in one day, someone does sins against you, you go to them, you talk to them, you rebuke them, you say, this isn't good, this doesn't work. And they say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Luke. And then you turn around, and about an hour later, they're doing the same thing again. And this probably happened at work to some of you, but an hour later, they're doing the same thing to you again. And you say, well, here you are, doing the same thing again. And they say, I'm sorry, Luke. And you say, God bless you, go on. An hour later, they do the same thing again. Oh my goodness. Where do you find the strength to continue to say, I forgive you? How many times can somebody cut you off on the road till you say, that's enough? That's enough. I'm driving down the road. Cut me off again. Cut me off again. I forgive you. Sorry. I'm getting a little. Bible tells us that faith is a gift from God. And so we look at the scriptures. We look at this and he says, if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And this is where the disciples or the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And probably every one of you sitting here this morning has been at the place where you have cried out to God and you have said, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith because things are not working out the way that I believe that they should. By faith, it says that Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. To understand how faith works, one must know that faith really is and how we as Christians operate by faith. You need to know what faith is and know how we as Christians operate by faith. When this is a time like ours, we need increase in our faith. As it relates to relationships, exactly as the scripture is laid out here, as it relates to relationships, we need faith. We need faith. We need to walk in it, and we need to exercise it in the way that God has planned for us. Don't cause the little ones to stumble. And I know that everyone here this morning, in this room, in this place, in this building, watching online, has at one time or another been through a very difficult time, a very testing time. And the Bible says that if in Job 14:1, it says that a man born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Let me read that again. A man born of a woman is but a few days, that's life, and full of trouble. If you're here this morning and you are experiencing difficult times that need faith, it's okay to say, Lord, increase my faith. But I challenge you to act on the faith that you have. Act on the faith that you have, because God gave you faith. As his child, he gave you faith. We've been in situations where that caused tears to run down our cheeks. We've been in trials. Seems like the enemy's winning, or that God wasn't looking. He missed something. We were trying, but we don't see him moving. We've been listening, but we don't hear him speaking. We've been waiting, but we don't feel the touch. What do? Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Friends, keep on. Keep on going. The fact that you are sitting here this morning is evidence of your faith. The fact that you are still going, the fact that you are still hanging in there, still honoring and worshiping God, the fact that you are still here is evidence of your faith. Keep on. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. But Lord, increase our faith, but help us also, Lord, to recognize the faith that we have and to move in the faith that we have. We're still here. We're still standing. God is still good, and that deserves praise. Amen. Amen. We're still here. God is still good. We're still standing. We're still alive. We still believe. We're still walking in faith, even though times are tough and difficult. So he goes on and he says in verses 6, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that what God was saying was, it's not the amount of faith that you have. Use what you have. Use what you have. And which of you having a servant? This seems to make no sense in the story. Is that the way you find it? It's the way I find it. It says, and which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. So we almost, you know, we see the picture here of this. He says, put yourself in this place. You have a servant that's out working the field. And you call him in, it's time for the end of day, it's time for supper. But you don't offer the servant to sit down. You get him to prepare your meal for you. And some men have wives they do this with. But that's beside the point. This is, the meal is prepared, and then they sit down and eat after you've been served, okay? Then in verse 9 it says, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Now to think about this whole thing of being able to walk and live in such a way that we don't offend those little ones, that we are, it's better if a millstone were hanged, but that you were drowned quickly, a millstone hanged about your neck and tossed into the sea, you don't have a chance, okay? So it's better that you were killed quickly than to offend one of these little ones. Do you take it seriously? Do you take it seriously this morning that your life living a life of faith is so important to God that it's better if you were to offend one of these little ones that you're drowned in the sea quickly? Wow. And then that we are able to live a life like that. And then Jesus says, he goes on and he says how the servant, when he went out in the field, and he did what he was called to do. And he ends up here in verse 10 and says, so likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. And many of us this morning, we think that, or we get this feeling that if we have been able to forgive somebody, wow, I need somebody to pat me on the back for that. I need somebody to be, no! These are the things that God has commanded us to do. These are the things that we walk in without question. These are the things that we do. The commandments of God's word we do without question, and we walk in faith of what we don't know, what we don't understand. But what we know is that God has called us to walk and live a life of faith that it reflects in such a way that others might be able to benefit from it, and we don't need to pat ourselves on the back for it. We've all met people who have done good things and they want to be patted on the back for it. And so that's the life that God has called us to live. There's nothing It's not going to be in the newspaper when you forgave somebody 7 times in one day. Not going to show up in the newspaper. It's not going to be in the church bulletin. It's what is required of you. It is what is required of you when you walk in faith. That is what is required of you to do. And me. I better quit. My heart's beating. If you're a child of God, it's what you do. We serve our God. We are servants of God. We are servants of God. It's what we do. And we do it in faith, believing in what? Not in me. Not that I have enough of faith. I don't need to wrestle with and look for and try and get enough of faith. God has given you faith. Walk in it. Walk in it. I believe in you. I believe that all of you here this morning have faith to be able to continue the journey. Keep on. Amen. Keep on for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what's coming. Don't know what's coming. But let us believe like we have never believed. Let us serve like we have never served. Let us continue to advance the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word. I thank you, Father. And I do pray this morning, Lord, that you would increase our faith. But at the same time, Lord, help us to see the mustard seed of faith, even the half, if that's what we have, and to move upon it. Lord, not believing that everything is going to be good and fine and dandy and I can make everything work out the way I want it to, by walking in faith, but by walking in faith, knowing what you want for me through your word, I will lead the wise to you. So, Father, this morning I pray that this fellowship, this church, would be able to honor and glorify you. Father, I pray that when we walk out of this place, the places that we go, that we would not offend the little ones. Lord, that we would be able to learn to know how to forgive in the way that Jesus called the disciples to, which caused them to ask this for this increase of faith, that we would be able to forgive in that way, Lord. I pray that you would bless and anoint us with wisdom. Help us, Lord, to walk. Help us, Lord, to be your servants, honoring you and you alone. And I give this place to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite the chorister to lead us in the closing song.